A former minister of did say that I had a discussion with the public secretary, and it was said that because the department was unable to come tomorrow, we still proceed. Proceed with the presentation on the participants of the department as well as the budget so that members can better be informed about what is there, what is not there, how much is there, is the department able to, or will it be able to execute it Monday within the resources, financial or otherwise, that it is being allocated following the budget. So we take a discussion as a committee, then we'll then meet the department later. But otherwise we're supposed to meet with the department tomorrow. So the CG is out of the country. And so is the airport. Yeah. So the agenda is therefore limited to the two items. And I'm not sure if members are interested to agree the items that they have before action.
No, in order, sir. Let's go ahead. I second, sir.
The agenda is so adopted. So what we're going to get is a briefing from the content advisor on the key issues that emanate from the strategic plan, that is the next slide here, 2015 and 2020, and the annual performance plan of 2018, which is financial year 2015 and 2016 of the department, as well as the action item we're going to walk us through that. You will then tell us whether you have a presentation. Is that the presentation behind you? Okay. And then the next one will be a presentation by Mr. Mandala on the overview of the 2015 budget of the department. And of course the action measures plan. What I wish you to do is just to alert us whether the capacity or ability of the department to execute its work, given this budget, is the department properly resourced or under resourced, or whatever other observations you may have made. Kind of salient point that I like. Honorable Kenya, you can have the side.
Thank you. Thank you. but then part of the ERF they want me for consultation before any decision is found to be made to any country, because ERF was a schedule to A and therefore any funds that leave the country had to be done in process in consultation with Germany. Now the argument of the government is in this regard is that now that they have SAFA, which is an exclusive agency, they somehow do not agree with the concurrency issue we have to manage the minister's budget. And they've called since 2010, they've called upon the committee for challenge. There could be an understanding with Trigger as to whether SAFA as an individual will still need concurrency from Trigger. The reason for sort of challenges with concurrency coming from Trigger is because when the ARF was operational, where there were humanitarian disasters, which will take longer for South Africa to respond because of the visa situation and the concurrent, which will not be able to have a concurrent. So, based on the committee's strategy. But the other thing is, even if the committee maybe can find out what the challenges do is mentioned. The challenge is still that we still don't know what shape SAFA is going to take until it changes, so that we are able to compare apples with apples, because we are agencies in the country which, like the DSA, also which actually spend funds to different countries, so that we understand how SAFA fits into the schedule of entities. That is in the country at the moment. Is it like SAA or is it like GDSA or is it like the National Lottery Board, which they will fund? So the committee will first of all have to understand how the structure of SAFA, how it is intended to work and how it is intended to access funds from government. So that needs to also enable the committee to actually know or comment how this thing can be done. But at the moment, there is a problem with treasure can produce the Spanish economy. Then, performance environment, under this strategic plan, the department was mindful of the crisis of the national development. And throughout, I think members of the committee with Korean stuff like that. Especially in Africa, and that's why it was the main obstacle to intra-African business actually. And then also the issue of population growth, which is built across the world line, where we find that developed countries are having aging population, when developing countries are experiencing a youth bulge. So this youth bulge demands that countries address youth development and youth employment. So the department in its strategic plan is well aware of this sector. The committee will be reminded that the department operates in 105 missions in 108 countries, and also it has accreditation of 160 countries. And therefore, its organizational environment has to respond to this demand. And in response to that, members, I say, they seem to have responded positively to all the objectives of the national development plan. There is a structure for you. Remember, if we look at the topic of structure, the structure of using organizational structure and the new structure is a high level organizational structure. First of all, say the committee has made recommendations to the department to say it should align its structure to the budget and the development plan has also provided for the same thing, and the auditors and others have provided for the same thing. So they have responded and they have responded positively. In the sense that when members look at the old budget, we had about 11 countries. We had Africa bilateral, Africa multilateral, Asia and Middle East, Americas and Caribbean, multilateral, Europe, this was a whole corporate, etc. But now what we are proposing in the youth budget, which is now the high-level organization structure. They are going to have Africa branch. They are going to have 9 branches from the same thing which we have today. Africa, Asia and Middle East, Europe and America are trapped together. Multilateral, that government, global governance and continental agenda is the former multilateral Africa and former UN, they are put together. And then state protocol, public diplomacy, and the other one. So you can see that they have tried to put together areas which they think are complementary, so that they don't it doesn't impact on the service delivery that they're supposed to do, but they reorganize themselves. So what the other thing which they did, which is actually positive, is the fact that they used to have this balance between finance, human resource, and corporate services. There were different branches, but now they put them together. So it makes more sense and more functional sense to have those to the capital we can get together. So I think the structure is a positive move by the department. And also the committee will remember that not long ago they made recommendations for creation of a chief operations officer, because operational issues were the ones which caused qualified opinion for the department. So they have responded positively. There is now the position of they have already got some approval. So it's only the process of through the department. But since they already have the care for public consumption, it means it's almost a done. But it looks aligned. So now it's easier for the community to actually monitor progress and also monitor conduct of foreign policy and know which branch you are dealing with and which study program you are testing. If you say Africa Multi, I mean Africa Bilateral, which is international cooperation continental, you go straight to Africa branch. You don't go to global conference. If you need things to some issues dealing with financial and assets, you know this branch is responsible. So it's easier to manage amongst themselves and it's easier for the community to also exercise their power. Then under the strategic objective of 2015-2020 in terms of Rotterdam now, I'll just highlight a few points of view which relate to the fact that again they have aligned the issues under administration when dealing with energy. So I don't know, Shepherd, if you would like me to read that this one sentence of the energy or I just mentioned it in past. It's there. Each with regard to administration, the NDP has provided. I'm reading from the actual constitution. It says a well-run and effectively coordinated institution. Who are committed to the public good and capable of delivering constantly high quality services while prioritizing the national relations development objectives. This will enable people for all persons of society to have confidence in the state, which in turn will enforce the state's services. So they have addressed that. They have linked the problem and indeed the structure to the system. So in all other programs, there is a citation from the National Development System that is linked, flowing, from that National Development System to the program. So consistently, this has been done throughout in the community. Now, of course, for the next 5 years, the department recognizes what I'm sure even the committee also is mindful of, the problems with ICT infrastructure. The ICT infrastructure over a period of time now is especially outdated, in need of actually then they need to have a new charter. So they started off with having a charter infrastructure, charter plan and maintenance plan. So they need to implement this charter in order for them to have a working and running ICT infrastructure. The importance of the ICT infrastructure is that with a department like SPECO, they need to have their communication running because they have to communicate with mission, but also it has to be secure. So if it's an old and outdated infrastructure, security of information will be an issue. And they also have to, it has to be available at all times. So there have been reports in the previous quarterly reporting. The commission
allocate money to the mission related.
so that we can pay for accommodation, we can pay for operational costs, and we can pay for salaries of those postage officers which are not necessarily from the company. But then every time goes on, they actually forget that option. So the department has to pop out its own fund to pay for accommodation of these officers, to give them money for the operational costs and other things. So it affects liquidity of the mission in a big way. So what they have done with Comarten is that they have an MOU, which they have agreed to strengthen with Comarten, that the budget which was meant for upkeep of those officers in the mission will be sent directly to the court. And then the court will be sent directly to the mission budget. So the department needs the committee's intervention on this matter, so that all other departments, the same thing can be done. They need to have MOUs with all other departments, because it affects the liquidity of all the departments in a big way. But now on top of that, it will be the project for institution. So they end up with nothing. Then the inadequate implementation of ICT governance, I think this one they have already dealt with. They need to seriously consider revamping it and also maintain the existing one so that it takes them over transition period into using the new one. And also with the ICT service delivery, it's the same thing. Long term retaliation, which we know. Then they also refer to the empty decision-making processes, which I think used to be a problem, and they still see it as a problem under the structure. But I think the COO will be able to respond to that effect, where, you know, vouchers, you know, service product, why does it not take on time, because maybe they need you to travel abroad and nobody will be able to do that. So with the COO, I want to believe that some of these challenges will be handled accordingly. And then the issue of emergency response, I think the committee spoke about where we have this problem with the stuff that has happened in Nigeria and also other areas, to say the department can respond immediately, but it needs assistance from other departments in order for it to fully flesh, to have a full flesh emergency and response. So they need to come together with other departments in terms of policy, which is aimed at emergency. But you can see South Africans are, you know, are involved in almost, you know, many disasters that are okay lately. So we need to have a response, emergency response policy. Then the second program is also linked to the NDP. And I won't read the sentence, but the particular sentence is a member of the minister, which links this program directly to the purpose of the National Development Plan. And as we are aware that this.
I do suggest that. You read the sentence. Look, the National Development Plan is now official national policy. And if it has a bearing on the work that the department is doing, and we have just commented, it is better that you draw the attention of the members.
politica di economic partnership in various regions of the world, Africa, Asia, Middle East, America, and Caribbean, and Europe. So what is that? Is the vehicle for the department to actually address domestic issues, domestic priorities, through structured bilateral mechanisms, agreements, and other partnerships which the Department of Africa gets into other countries for the benefit, for mutual benefit, for the benefit of people at home, value-added industries and minerals, certification, increased inbound tourism, skills enhancement, transfer technology, increased on foreign direct investment, increased export of South Africa business services. All this are done under this program. So the purpose of the National Development Plan, which we want to know whether this program are actually addressed, it says in order for South Africa to achieve its national goals of eradicating poverty, lowering inequality, creating jobs, and making the transition to a resilient low carbon economy, foreign relations must be driven by the country's domestic, economic, political, and social needs. So it's exactly what they are doing now. So it relates to that, it connects and links to that group. Then, under that program, because the committee will be reminded that normally what is happening under that program will be having structured bilateral relations with different countries, commission, joint commission, bilateral commission, and out of that, there will be that is a 2 week drive to economic diplomacy. So out of that, there will be benefits which will actually accrue to the country directly through those activities. However, there are risks which the department has also highlighted, and some of them are similar to what they highlighted in the first program. Here is another, the same one of non-adherence to paradiplomacy, that mechanism. And what the department actually intends doing is that now is to use credentials to control competition and price optimization. I think this issue is important for the community structure process. What happens is when delegations are drawn from a country on a bilateral meet, when you go to a bilateral conference under the principles of Section 2, it looks like there's a problem with composition and size of the nation. So the department is actually crying for assistance, for intervention, or to say we seem to be having, South Africa seems to actually have the intention of, I mean the tendency of having big delegations which go to one country. And this parliament is also assisting. So the committee is better placed to talk to this issue so that we are able to control and also focus, have a focus intervention issue. But they all go to the same thing they do. So credentials are normally a document which is drawn by a country that is signed by the Minister of International Relations to say so and so has been approved that you can attend. So if they really have to go to that level, it means there's a problem with control. It means they are not able to say, madam, don't send people there because nationally it's going to send people. So it's only the committee who can deal with that. And then there is also a problem of unfunded mandate. This one the committee is well aware of because of the necessary budget adjustments which have to be made because of foreign exchange fluctuation. At times the department is limited in this implementation of this mandate because of that. the first one in the sense that even official delegations seem to be having a problem. So I think the committee can find more information from the department and be able to come together. It's becoming a difficult time. Now, program 3 is international cooperation, and this program has 4 sub-programs, which is global governance, continental cooperation, South-South, and South cooperation. And the continental cooperation deals with issues around Africa, Africa being central to South African foreign policy, and also contribution to social and economic development of Africa through GRA, supporting the activations of Agenda 2063, strengthening the AU structures, revitalizing NECA, supporting APRM processes, contribution to peace and stability, keeping this mission, lacking observation. So all those functions fall under international cooperation, under continental cooperation. And the continental cooperation, it links the NDP goals as follows. South Africa's foreign policy should be driven by a key understanding of our national, regional, and continental priorities in a multipolar world where the geostrategic politics of the continent is central to global political and economic contribution for natural resources and market share. This program is addressing that. When we move forward, we have global governance, which is also linked to the NDP. And it says global governance deals with the issues around the reform of the UN Security Council and its secretariat, and also peaceful resolution of international conflicts, global peace, provision of institutional legal advice by the department, and also participation in meetings by the department for, you know, in order to influence outcomes of those meetings to reflect South Africa's national interest. So the prescripts of national development plans under this are as follows. Articulation of South Africa's national interest and the country's obligation to the global community in relation to the stability of the natural environment, the global economy, the international flow of migrants, human freedom, and international cooperation. South Africa's foreign relations and diplomacy must be informed by the strategic interplay between political, economic, security, environmental, and human dynamics. Position South Africa to be efficient and effective in regional regimes and institutions in the country's multiple international affiliations, especially in Russia, Brazil, India, China, and South Africa, and the global power in multiple affiliations, and the institutions of government. And this should remain a universal member in the international community and stay at the forefront of political and economic development. So these are the principles of the international development plan, which this program is forming. Then the integration of SADC, this is another sub-program of that program, is basically focusing on the region in terms of contributing to key socio-economic development, trade, and strengthening of other structures. So the department is intent working on this, and also to review the regional indicative strategic development plan of SADC. We
Then the relationship between north and south.
they are very like antagonistic. So it becomes very difficult for the department to try and convince the South to negotiate on something with the North because of the situation which exists. But this is something which, as diplomats, we are able to go around, but the challenge they are saying it should be expected from time to time. And then in the international arena, attempting the shift of international focus away from us to other what they call pressure issues. It happens a lot in the political also actually raise those issues. South Sudan will be on fire, but nobody will say anything in the UN. Yes. So it seems like that. Which is, you know, Ukraine will be featuring mostly. So it's things like that which it becomes challenging when the department is operating in a multilateral forum, which the department is committed to be aware of and also try and enhance the conduct of foreign policy in situations of that nature. And then lack of coherence and coordination of national positions. This is a very difficult one. South Africa has an experience during its two terms in the U.S. where the African countries, for example, foreign countries which were non-members at the same time as South Africa in the U.N. Security Council, were not coming to the party when it came to issues being raised by South Africa on the African agenda. So, you know, it's those challenges which they are saying we should expect from country to country. Try and keep counsel as to how they should go about it. And then inter-departmental coordination, that's another issue. When it comes to international conferences, as we are aware now, the AU summit is coming to South Africa in July. You know, challenges with security because South Africa, I mean, the department cannot organize things like that on its own. It will need input from security, input from police, traffic, all other aspects. AU, African Union, Summit in July coming to Netherlands. So, you know, things like that with committee to committee with other committees, this committee can be able to intervene. Protocol and public and I mean public diplomacy protocol. This ones will continue to discuss the mandate as they have been doing with you know, bringing awareness and understanding of South African foreign policy to the world out there, and also providing high standard protocol services as required. But it is a risk which the department has raised in the strategic plan to say apparently non-compliant with protocol system. In terms of protocol demands that department of people behave in a certain manner, and if that is not happening, it doesn't reflect well on the image of a country. So it's very important that happens, and also I think behavior of people when they are in meetings of an international nature, they not think of the image of the country to carry themselves properly and also be representative of the country that they have. Problem 5 deals with international transfers. This is where its obligations, international obligations, and voluntary contributions to international organizations. So it's payments which are made to FedEx, to UN, AU, WTO, all organizations where there needs to be an annual fee in order to be a member. And it also transfers money to the ARA. However, they are connected with this program, which are well known to the committee, the foreign exchange fluctuations, because assessment comes from the EU 6 months after the budget has passed here in Parliament, you find that it has been affected by foreign exchange fluctuations, and therefore the department finds itself having to apply for more funds from China. So this is where the committee has been made aware that if requests like that come to the fore, they should be able to respond accordingly. Then there is also an issue, which is the very serious issue of possible non-payment of assessed contributions by partner departments. So you see, this relates to tarnishing of the image of the country. You say, if particular departments are party to certain organizations and they don't pay their annual fees, the face of South Africa there is in the department. And if this is not happening, the committee needs to intervene also and find out where this problem arises and how it can be your objection to the department. Then we move away from programs now into plans, infrastructure plans and other capital plans in the strategic plan which the department intends to work on in the The committee is aware that the department has two contract portfolios. It has the local one and the international one. Local, it has the headquarters in Pretoria, safe guest houses, protocol lounges in Johannesburg, Olatunga, Durban, and Cape Town here. And it's also responsible for the upkeep of the UN offices in Pretoria, Pan African Parliament, Mercat Secretariat, and the European Secretariat. So all those office accommodation properties belong to, are under the purview of the department, and they are financed through the department. Then it has the international portfolio, which is basically the mission support, chancelleries, which are offices, and official residences where ambassadors stay, and then Stockhausen. So the issue there is that Stockhausen mostly are leased properties. And leased properties, you will see in the next slide, it's a bit of a scare in the department in terms of management of such properties. But in the medium term, the department intends to actually assess whether acquisition or leasing would be an option. The committee will be reminded that it raised this issue at some point to say maybe consider looking into acquiring and owning properties abroad as opposed to leasing, because leasing is subject to foreign exchange fluctuations and is not stable. And also the fact that diplomatic process are not acceptable in most countries. Diplomatic process are process in a lease agreement which will allow the officer to leave with immediate effect if, for example, there is supposed to be evacuation of the officer of the mission, or the officer is being posted with immediate effect to another mission, or the officer has an emergency at home and will be staying away for more than 3 months. So all those are diplomatic clauses which have to be in each and every contract, lease contract. But some countries refuse, and they insist that if you have to be, if the incumbent, they don't even, because when you leave not for demand, but for the mission. So if you know it's not there, somebody else has to come in. If it's not in there, then it's somebody else. So, you have actually breached the contract. So some countries insist on if you have to be away, like suddenly, and you are not able to be noted, to pay for the duration of the contract. So it's really an unhealthy circumstance which they are faced with. That is connected with leasing. So they can look into this. Now, they apart from leasing the public private partnership, the PPPF, which the department has with other companies here, and we know there is the headquarters in Pretoria, and also the state lounges. I mean, the state guest houses are under that kind of funding model. So at the moment, the company is running the building for the department and also maintaining it. And it will hand over after a period of time. And that contract ends in September 2034. There are different funding models which the department has at its disposal. The first one is owning, acquiring land, leasing, or using private public. Private public partnership, which is a PPP. So I was saying the department headquarters at the moment is under that model, where there is a company which is running it on behalf. The company, the department acquires land, and then this company builds for the department, maintain the property for the department, and throughout. So at the moment, if the department headquarters and state guest houses, this has been a decision of cabinet, by the way. Most of the departments are going this way. So at the moment, headquarters of DECO and the state houses, that contract, that TPPS agreement, ends in September 2034. That will be the only time that the department actually takes ownership of that building. Mm-hmm. Now the African Momentum Fund. The African Momentum Fund strategic plan is also, as the committee has dealt with it, the first time when we dealt with the budget, and it's still the same one, the same strategic plan, where the Act of Parliament, the ARF is under the Act of Parliament, and it's under DECO, and it responds to a request for development funding, humanitarian, good government, elections, and assist. It's used as a tool for conducting of foreign policy. And the committee will be reminded that it has had many challenges in terms of its operation. Hence, cabinet in 2009 decided to have a new model for the dispensing of the development assistance. And that will be through SASA, which will manage, coordinate, and facilitate all government officials and outgoing development cooperation assistance. And I think that all is also part of what the committee should be thinking about for oversight. Because now we have problems with coordination of all international engagements. Now it will be another amount of task to deal with all, you know, coordination of all outgoing development efforts. So it's going to be a huge challenge for the department, which the committee will have to think about how, what strategy to use in order to make sure that that happens. Then the challenge with treasury, I'll not go get into the already discussed to say once the committee knows what the model, what that would look like, it will be able to pronounce itself. But I must advise that we can look into, the committee can look into models here at home and also have an opportunity to look into international best practices and look into models abroad and compare. the department has already done that, so it should be a chance now for the community to have a better shoulder kind of management. So that is the AMA. Now with annual performance plans, David will deal with the details of the budget and that's dealing with the key elements which the committee has in the strategic plan to have to look at.
Let me just hear from the member.
I think let her finish her presentation because she's got a few left on the annual performance.
Yeah.
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 Thank you, the department has a reduced budget of 5.6 billion compared to 5.8 billion. Of last year. But this is not only a unique problem in the department. With an announcement from what came from the Minister of Finance that all departments are going to be under austerity measures. So this is part of that. So the only issue here is that with the department starting with the reduced budget, we already know they are faced with another, the double blow. They will be also faced in the future, in the near future, with foreign exchange fluctuations. So it's going to be, for them, it's going to be a double blow in this system. And this is going to be affected over the next 3 years. So all the departments are going to receive reduced budget over 3 years. So with regards to the department, the reductions, I mean the mostly affected areas will be non-essential goods and services. This relates to, for example, contracts which they can do without. For example, they normally have contracted translators to help them for conferences or for translating the document. They can use internal resources, their own people who speak this language, or contracts they really don't need now, which they can be able to use internal resources to achieve. Then compensation of employees, what that means is that they will either freeze positions or abolish the ones that they think will not help them. But abolishing has a problem, a challenge in the sense that when you want to resuscitate the whole process, which takes more than years. So maybe freezing, that the committee can find out from more information from the family what intends to do. And then transfer to the ARS. That's what we know is happening for the center now. And the ARS has a revolving kind of living. So for it, it's not a problem in terms of it already has the money. It really doesn't get more money from Treasury. It already has its own fund, which will not be used, and other which is affected interest. So it does not affect the operation of the ERS. Then the department will still continue to operate under five programs, being the global governance, which will deal with the reform. And this particular year, they have identified focus on the reform of the UN system and also participating in international meetings to actually reflect national interest. The committee will be reminded that this is out of what the committee has also recommended, to say participation in meetings should not be about quantity, not about how many meetings the department has attended. They used to report to the committee in that fashion. He attended so many meetings. So the committee said, no, 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 it should be about impact. How did you influence the outcome of such meetings? So now they are reporting along those lines to show outcomes. That is like national interest, agenda of Africa, and agenda of the South. In all their international participation in different meetings, for underdevelopment and poverty implementation. So the other unfortunate thing is that this year, the department is chairing the group of 27 plus China. So that puts it in a good position in terms of influencing ushering in the 2015 development agenda. They will be at the center and they can be able to champion issues and negotiations to suit the development of developing countries. So it's a good thing that we are doing. In continental cooperation, now what is going to happen is they are going to be reviewing technical participation in SADC to review the strategic plan of SADC so that we can accommodate and drive towards free trade, which has been on the agenda for quite a while now for SADC, and very little movement towards that. So they need to actually contribute on that and push it through. But more emphasis now is on the post-conflict reconstruction and development and political reform in the Great Lakes region. This is mentioned specifically for this year, financial year. And also peace and security framework for the Great Lakes region, which is entered into an agreement between South Africa, Angola, and the DRC. That's going to be operationalized, and also efforts towards peace and security efforts in also restoring of order in Libya, Central African Republic, DRC, Somalia, and South Sudan. I'm sure the department will be requested to give more details on that as well. But you can see that focus is going to be on peace and security issues. Now, on our South, as we have already mentioned, South Africa is the chair of the G77 plus China and is going to champion the development agenda in the UN. In September, when the NDCs come to an end and SDGs come into play, and also they're going to be participating in non-alignment movement forum or China Africa Cooperation Summit and the Southern BRICS Summit and the Inter-Ministerial Summit. Then North South, they are going to be having engagement with the EU, Korea, Nordic countries, and also TIGAD is Japan and Africa Summit, which for the first time is going to be held in Africa. I think I have omitted the EU Summit because I spoke about just EU, which is going to be in Midland in July this year. And then for operational capacity, in the medium term, the structure will be operationalized, the one that we looked at before, and also a feasibility study will be carried on the viability of acquisition or leasing, as we have already explained, so that the department can be funded. But now we have 100 in total, that is between headquarters and local and international, 133 state-owned properties and 800 leased properties. So they need to assess and find out, you know, who should be beneficial, cost effective, and also enable them to have their money after they need. And then renovation plans are going to be completed also so that they know which properties we need to be and also completion of construction of chancellors in official places in Malawi, Tanzania and Netherlands will happen this year. The committee will remember that this was during the third quarter presentation to the committee. In Tanzania, the rain is an affected completion of the construction, and in the Netherlands, it's just because of the presence of access. So, we are going to finish off the project. And they hope also to this year table the foreign service bill and also repeal the African Renaissance Fund bill and X table partnership. And provide these basic trainers for SASPA and continue to play a leading role in the AU standard method with ARS as a true strategic objective. Road travel. This is just to highlight that actually the committee should also find satisfaction with the fact that the department seems to have taken into consideration most of the recommendations that the committee made to them, and we are featured in this strategic plan. And the other areas which overprice is going to be the committee will have to feature in their own strategic plan in those areas which we highlighted, which were mentioned as risk. Whether they are real or imagined, but they are a serious challenge towards the conduct of foreign policies. And thank you, Madam.
Thank you very much, Chair. Dineo, well done on this one. I think it's a thorough assessment for us as a committee. Well done, and it was done very much adequately. I feel like I've read already the annual plan and the strategic plan by just looking at your assessment here. So thank you very much. Well done. You've mentioned quite a good things and good concessions that the department have done, learning from what we have said to them. And then thank you for highlighting that one. Just one issue. The NDT, the reference to the NDT. Is it the reference to the old Chapter 7 or the new Chapter 7, the current Chapter 7, in as far as that is concerned? And secondly, the issue of consultants. I see here there is reference to say that one of the cost containment measures will be on cutting on those issues of service providers and goods and everything. To what extent does the department rely on consultants and service providers? And the other one is on the MOU. I think there is good, very good progress that we can accept, that in terms of attaches, they are starting to say
the relevant department must bring the money for the upkeep of the attache themselves. But there is one issue that we have to pressurize the department to, together with other departments, that the issue of the leasing and the rent of the embassies. I think other departments that are partners in this should also contribute. I'm talking about the DTI, I'm talking about Home Affairs, Defense, and all those attaches. Apart from getting their cost of living, we should also have an MOU that says they are involved in the upkeep and the leasing of those properties, especially that now the department is busy reviewing the issue of leasing vis-a-vis owning of those structures in terms of that. And I think we welcome the issue of the quality of our participation in multilateral forums. I think it is very much welcome. The Foreign Service Bill will it assist us in dealing with the issue of the LRT, because of it's one of the thorny issues that we are faced with. And I think as a committee we can be able to assist the department there. And lastly, let me leave it at the ARF. You have made reference to SATPA being operational. I'm not sure if it was just a slip of tongue or just a brainwave as you are presenting, because it's not yet operational. And the issue of the African Renaissance Fund, I'm aware that at the COPA meeting, they also raised the same issue. And that's what I raised with the DG last week in terms of those projects. And I think it's one issue that the committee is always faced with, and I want us to come up with a way that we can try and arrest the situation moving forward. I know that it's going to be repelled soon. It might be a problem of the past, but how do we ensure that the ARF project, we follow the money on this project, which is one of the bone of contention in as far as that is concerned. And because the establishment of SATPA rests on concurrence with Treasury, how do we go about that situation? Treasury is still saying, look, you haven't satisfactorily addressed the issues we had with ARF. Now you are bringing a new animal called SATPA. We still got concurrent issues there. How do we, because of I see this going to be delayed, because I remember in 2009, the first committee meeting, we were presented with SATPA bill, and 5 years down the line, it hasn't yet been formally processed because of the issues of concurrence with Treasury. How do we deal with that moving forward? Thank you, Chair. Let me leave it at that. Yeah, otherwise I will take it on here.
I think now my sister, I need your attention to pay for very good that you have done, yeah. But mainly, the questions that asked by my colleagues, I think more or less are supposed to be directed to the government.
Yeah.
And that you have highlighted quite a lot. You have put a lot to start. Clarification. understand that at least some certain percentage, more or less, it's very rare that it jumps very high. And you what I want to find out so that it happens for tomorrow. Is there any change in that?
Thank you, Chair. Let me just join my colleagues to say thank you very much. Job well done. I made a set contact to me. Job well done. I think you have presented very well. Nevertheless, Chair, I will have some clarity, but I don't know if she will have those answers she was presenting on behalf of the department. Sean. Okay, so I must not go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No. There are in all departments for the portfolio committee, questions of a political nature, and questions of an administrative nature. Now, when we engage in the department, you'll see that sometimes there are things that are operational. It is more the EG, the CFO, and others that must, the COO, but there are things of a political nature. Why are we having a relationship with a particular country? Why are we getting there? Things like that. So, when do throw in what you want to throw in, she will say, she will indicate that this country has helped by us. And then, of course, you will reserve that for the minutes or the 15 minutes.
Oh,
yeah, it's always like that.
No. Correct, Chairperson. Yeah, very correct. No, on page 3, the para-diplomacy, you mentioned that there's a lack of coordination. Maybe just to get a clarity on this one, I have just gone through to the documentation series. I don't get it. So what are we lacking? Why are we lacking the coordination on the level? Chair, I don't know where to get this white paper on foreign policy. I would like to have it. She said there is part one of it. In your presentation, you said the SADPA, SADPA, there is some challenges. So you need an intervention from this committee. What sort of intervention, if I may ask? And to elaborate on this one, I was not part and parcel, I'm new to the committee, so you bear with me when I'm asking something that you have already dealt with. Why are we doing away with the African Renaissance Fund? Why do you want to repeal it? What is the reason, maybe politically or otherwise? On performance environment, you said on the first sentence, identified lack of adequate infrastructure and industrial capacity of cycles to inter-African regional trade. If I can get a clarity, as the department is noting that there is that lack of adequate infrastructure in order for us to embark on intra-African regional trade, maybe what measures, what initiatives the government we are trying to address those things? Chair, on the ICT infrastructure, again, it's a cause for concern from the department, but you do have some plans to address it. But the question that I will have, why it has been come to the committee for what? Because I believe that the department must embark on those things to get it correctly. I just made a glance to Chair on page 13, program 3. Reform of global governance institutions and secretariat to better address needs of developing countries. Just a clarity. What do you mean? What needed to be done? you have said, Chair, I would love to also to get, maybe this one is put again, I don't know, on your organogram, yeah. The organogram, the new one, the high level French one, which is Africa. What is the difference between French one, which is Africa, and French four, which talks about global governance and continental agenda? Maybe just a small clarity. But the last one, the chair, is the one that you talk about, that PPP agreement of 2034. You mentioned very quite correctly that it's a cabinet decision. All cabinet ministers, they do take such decisions. But I think it is very important to note that this is a cause for concern from my side as a member of the committee. This is a very, very long time. Let me just pause the chair. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you. that a big fan who should say they are that a Republican, they are that a fan that the ARF is just got its own fan in that Republican kind of way. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Kalia.
Here we go. Thank you so much for the opportunity to pose a few questions. I would like to add my compliments to Neil, same as my colleagues, for the very thoroughly researched document. As my colleague Stephen Smokalapa said, he, you know, doesn't really have to go into depth into all the glossy documents now that you've done the work for us. Chairperson, I first wish to pose a question to you. You and I are both first timers in this committee, and convention is that the minister actually presents the budget to the committee. I heard you in the beginning saying that the DG was going to be here, but he's out of the country, and therefore tomorrow's meeting has been postponed. But my understanding of the conventions of Parliament is that the minister and the DG present themselves before the committee for us to interrogate the budget. So, sir, I'd like to know whether you communicated with the minister on this and when the minister will be presenting herself, not her deputies, herself. As you well know, the deputies, the role of the deputies is different to that of the minister. The minister has oversight of the ministry and the budget. So I just want to put that out there for you. A lot of my questions are political, but for clarity, Janaya, on page 3, slide 3, I do recall about 2 or 3 meetings ago requesting a list of the role players for the Council on International Relations. And I do remember you saying you had this. It would be great to know, you know, who they are, and perhaps some background on how often they sit. It's not a decision-making body, but obviously they make some recommendations, whether it has actually come before this committee, has it come before Parliament, who has it served before. You know, so that you get an understanding that we have a budget for this, we have this group of people, what exactly are they achieving? So that's the one question. On slide 4, what is the status of the Foreign Services Bill? It has not been introduced, or is it at cabinet level? Is it in the green paper, white paper, blue paper, what paper? The SACPA, you said there's a problem with Treasury. I think that question is for the minister to answer, so I'll hold off on that. Chairperson, just another point, and maybe I did miss it. Has this committee had a workshop with regard to the NDP and the portfolio and a relationship and an integration? Have we had a formal workshop on it so that we understand it? It could have happened in the last parliament, but this is a new parliament. I'm not sure whether that's because, as you say, that is now government policy. And if we haven't been fully briefed on the ins, outs, implications, consequences, and budget, then I think we would be falling short on our oversight role. Slide 8, just to share with you with regard to early warning, both in disaster and political situation, I just had the opportunity to be present at the Africa Caribbean Pacific EU meeting in Brussels last week, and it was so interesting to watch the disaster center, they have a big disaster center, and it's a monitoring, and they have screens on the wall, TV screens, and then one is watching the political situation, one is watching earthquakes, one is watching the weather. So there's a team of people who are watching, and they can actually pick up what is happening. For example, the cyclone in Vanuatu, for a week before that it was already building up, this center was monitoring it, so that by the time it actually hit, disaster aid was on its way. So it's just a point of sharing of information. I think I will hold here for now, and thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much. The last one is Honorable Rapunzel. At least in my list.
Administrative we should be spending a greater amount of our energies on. Let's say, for instance, cooperation on the continent. We really need to have the minister regularly appearing before the committee so that we can talk about the strength of SADC, the strength of the African Union, to talk issues political, progress with the peace processes in the Sudan, the battle against this Islamic State, which is affecting the lives of human beings in the continent of Africa. To what extent, and I want to raise this question specifically, to what extent are other sister countries in Africa meeting their obligations in terms of contributing financially and otherwise to missions to fight terrorism, to stabilize the eastern part of the DRC, and so on? And I must say that I'm very, very curious about these issues, especially when it comes to the question, how many African countries are making their contributions, their membership fees to the African Union? Because I know that and reports from time to time indicate only a very few African countries annually contribute their annual fees, because those are the resources with which the African Union carries out its programs. And without those contributions, there are major problems. The point is made here about that when we raise issues on the international forum beyond the continent, you'll find that European nations, if they want to deal with the issues, for instance, of the Ukraine, they talk about Europe, our common home, and they will prioritize those issues ahead of issues affecting the developing nations. Part of their influence, part of their capacity to take attention away from those issues has to do with the fact that they put a lot of money in paying attention to the issues affecting the regions from which they come. Now, unless Africa and the countries that we work with also come to the party when we make these contributions and when we put in to drive these programs, we will not be able as a region of the world to get attention paid to our issues. And of course, we have not to forget, from what we have to remember all the time. See, I think the lady referred to, she referred, somebody put off this. Oh, I see your point, yeah. You mean I finished my time?
So let's stop now. That's the mic denying you freedom of speech.
The point I do want to make here is that many of the African, in fact almost all of the countries of Africa, are former colonial possessions of Europe. Now, whether we like it or not, many of them, In fact, the budget of many of these nations is sometimes 70%, even 75% aid from former colonial powers. And those colonial powers now tell African countries what your priorities are. And if you don't, if as a country you are dependent on their aid to you, if you don't do as they say, they take the money, therefore compelling you to do that and that. So those are the issues that I think we should have quality time with the minister. If we are going to make some contribution as the legislature of our countries, to discuss those issues, to go into them. I'm not saying that the computers that we have here and abroad are not important. I'm just saying that in terms of prioritization, we have to look at those things. Because then we have to make choices. We have to decide where it will be most fruitful to throw our energies into, rather than spread our resources everywhere where some of them are of no use. So if we have those discussions, we can prioritize what are likely to produce what we require. I thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. The last one is Honorable Khadir.
Of government. We find that a certain form of strategy can
clinic on how to behave, yeah, on how they, on how they should conduct themselves, not even outside the country, even inside the country. Because what is good inside the country is reflected, because whatever is good inside the country, I'm telling you, within 2 hours, this is CNN everywhere. So the damage is done to the country is immeasurable. So, but I know that we are under armed government. I think that on the side of the community election, I think that the Department of International, in, on the side of Parliament, must go and do thorough training on the issues of diplomats on the side of the community. I think that one must be followed up, because this is our mandate. So I think that on the part of Parliament now, because the airport cannot train us, because we have to oversee, it cannot come and train us. So I think on the side of Parliament, something must be done around that. Yeah. And then I really appreciate the input made in the engineers. Could we check for the number of questions about that? Thank you.
I do move your comments are concerning. You don't have, in fact, should not answer political question. What I would request you to package, just note, that there was this one, and then I'm not sure if I should have a look at them, but I hope to take it to other. But they are a package for the parliamentary representative for the department from my side. Yeah, from my side. Like that's the shooting from me. Honorable Kalia, on the issue of whether it's the minister who has come here or you are definitely correct. When I write a letter to invite the department to come and make a presentation, I direct it to the minister. Then the minister, at the beginning of 2014, told us that she has delegated everything to Minister Leonard. That's the minister who takes care of the ministry in relation to matters of parliament. Then he is the second deputy minister. The first deputy minister is assigned to certain branches of our engagement with the world. And then she is hovering all over the world, everywhere before the president goes there. So it appears that she has some kind of permanent apology, both in parliament and here in our committee. If we were to take a firm decision, we will not take unless she's here. We would certainly have a problem. That's why they are taking the what I would do in view of what you have said is to write a letter that we think for the purpose of this budget that she has like her. So I would also be uncomfortable that we finish 5 years without having been to the committee itself. She would hardly know the basis of the committee. And they will not recommend us to be ambassadors.
Yeah, we're all waiting.
Yeah, we're all waiting.
Find the queue. Behind you.
But I think it would not be all right. And so I think you hear what we're about to say.
Yeah.
So we would need to speak in the meeting. That's all that must find time and space. Now, it's not for tomorrow. The next meeting will be on the 15th of April. That's after the short term. It will be on the 15th. We can't get the minister on that day, but if the president says, well, I will be going to such a country for that, what? She goes there, meets the stakeholders, advises them, the president, about the, all the do's and don'ts and protocols and sensitivity. That's the problem you have if you want to be minister. And I think I've fallen at one day. Particularly for the whole political environment, you know, a lot of the characters, just deal with.
going to raise a few things that are actually offered for discussion. But before that, the issue about the workshop on our local year, I think we don't need. Did we ever have a workshop on the NDC or Torrent?
We haven't had the strategic planning as well.
No.
The last one.
Did we? Are you talking about the
first
panel or our
panel? Yeah. We were not here.
This one not here.
We are here.
Oh, okay. No, I think we are clear that all of us have to be careful. Now, there are just a few things that I think we should just for the issue about power diplomacy. I think we need to strengthen this area as well. Engage the department, because not everybody must go about talking about the country on issues that they may not know anything about. And in some instances, we must say to the ministry, clamp down. You see, if the mayor promises that all the time we're going to China, some people are saying to me, we are all you. We are going too many times to certain countries on the same issue, study talk. And people must know what are the strategies around this, because they may end up tying the country to certain arguments. Either the arguments are already existing, the terms and conditions are the same, and we have not yet had a look at all the MOUs and the international agreements of the board parliament, whether in this parliament we should proceed with certain arguments that may be existing. But also, it will not be limited to our committees, because home affairs, other energy, civil industry, defense, things like that. But I'm just saying we will engage the issue about the foreign service team, when will it ever come to Parliament? The white paper, you remember, I made my own observation that perhaps they don't want to have it to an act. They just want to put it to that level. The issue about concurrence, what extent is affecting them. And the minister, I think, could answer on that. There is one that I want to proffer a personal observation. And it is on the issue of trade between South Africa and countries of the North, South Africa and countries of Asia, and Africa as a whole. My sense is that the countries of the North, and including Asia, which is led by China now, are not going to change the power, economic power relations necessarily, unless the whole African continent picks up a very big fight, and it might be a collective fight. If they were to use BRICS as such a fight, they can win a war. You see, because as matters stand now, Africa has the advantage of the young population, a growing population, which is a market for the countries of the North where they can sell their technologies, the cars and watches and everything. So we're going to be big consumers of their whatever for a long time. And even in terms of military terms, any continent or a country that has got a young population, it can have a big spending hand. Permanent hand like China has. And the challenge that Europe has now is a declining population, which happened after the Second World War. And the advantage is that it is easy for social wage and other grants to give to your people, even when they are not working, they get good money from the government. It is to tell them what they are doing. But their threat, at least that's what Germany told me, their threat is that who is going to carry their pensions when they go home. So the population there is that the older people are more, it's the pyramid, it's set after that. The older population is more, the young people are less. Now, who will be working and be taxed to pay the old people? So there is still a challenge. The labor force is shrinking. I hope I'm not just hearing how many problems. I was just saying the advantage that we have. Now, you would remember that after 1945, the United Nations was formed. But because the Second World War ravaged the physical landscape of Europe and parts of the world, so that they came with the IMF and the World Bank for Reconstruction. Now, those arrangements have not changed, because the IMF and the World Bank impose conditionalities on the countries that borrow money. They don't care what your economy, what type of your political economy, by the way, how you want to construct it. They say, no, you want our money, then they follow the functional adjustments. You do this, you do this. They do it to the whole Africa, they do it to the whole world. From 1945 up to now, that is the IMF and the World Bank. Now, the counter balance to that will obviously be increased. For now, China does appear that it has partnership, it says it's going to be developmental, etc. Africa must mind that there is no such thing as friendship among countries. There's permanent interest, not permanent friendship. So, does not mean that China will not exploit Africa. It may exploit less.
No.
But it will exploit for their own benefit and for their own people. So that kind of alertness by the African leadership is very, very important. I was just making that point that's the observation I wanted to make. And the last one, along with it, I heard that that there is a weakness on the part of South Africa. That we're all over the world, we're brokering peace, we're not turning that peace into money. And other people or other countries, they make sure that, okay, there must be peace here. Whenever there's peace, they go for it. We come with business. See, now we're into that one, the assets, we're in debt, we spend money, we travel all over, then what is the state for South African business people? Because once there is peace, you get into the DRC. You mine, you spend, you establish more, you contract things, you do all of these things. If there is peace in the Sotho, there are things you must do. There are areas where peace must mean economic dividends to the country. But as I was saying, the countries of the North will not change the colonial relations economically. Ensure that we sell to them and there's more money coming to us. So they'll ensure that they sell to us, they export more, we import, and then money flows out in South Africa. This was frankly raised by me and Honorable Jones when we met and it was clear that when we're asking them about certain things, why are you not allowing that to service? All of the things that we're raising, we could see that they were making an aid about changing this. They want more opportunities in Africa than and they're even worried about certain things in the white paper. They say we are gravitating towards Africa and towards Asia. I'm just saying these are matters we want to raise. We want to engage in the minister. It's not a problem, it's a challenge for the African leadership. Mm-hmm. The leadership of the entire African. But at least we must make these observations to our left hand. Then she raises to the president and they will see what happens when they meet with the but also note the issue that need to discuss that. The last one is that when we try to look at all international agreements and MOUs and see what is there, what's not there, what is being done about that, whether we as a committee can therefore undertake a study or can undertake a thesis, which of course is only related to our committee. The next presentation with that, do you want to sum up administrative responses?
In which
just an oversight.
Focus on its trade and investment links with sub-Saharan Africa. Because as I pointed out earlier, in emerging markets, economic growth is expected to be 4.5%. So we do have reasons to invest and to prioritize the developing economies because they are growing. Now, the minister also reflected on some of the challenges that South Africa is experiencing, specifically with how our exports. The minister pointed out that there are certain structural impacts which are affecting our exports. And the reason I thought this was interesting was that the president, during his State of the Nation address, had mentioned the same thing, that electricity or energy was something that was having a detrimental impact on our potential economic growth. And Minister Nene had pointed out the same thing, that our exports are being affected by the fact that they are high energy consumers, those sectors, and our energy provision is needing some work. So as a result of that, it's something that the country will have to give attention to. But at the same time, there are opportunities, and there are ways that we can counterbalance these difficulties. The minister spoke about our potential growth this year, that it's expected to be 2%, but that this will also be expected to increase in 2017 to 3%. The minister also emphasized that there are certain areas where we can see short-term growth, and those sectors are sectors such as tourism, agriculture, light manufacturing, and housing construction. So I wanted to highlight those to honorable members, because in how the department orients its economic diplomacy, it can look at those areas and say, okay, when we conduct our bilateral relations, we can have have delegations of corporations involved in these aspects, who can then market their products, and then we can have foreign direct investment in those industries coming into the country, and we can also have relations, we can have agreements that we sign. So those are areas where we can look at in terms of opportunities. Now, honorable members, that is essentially what I want to say in terms of economic diplomacy and those aspects that featured in the speech of Minister Nene that I thought would, you know, that the committee could give some attention or keep in the back of your mind when you're thinking about South Africa's economic diplomacy. Now, as I mentioned earlier, the next phase of my presentation will be focused primarily on the budget of the department. Now, obviously, given we're going to have the budget vote and also the department will be coming, these are some of the areas that the committee would look at, where the reductions are in terms of the budget, where there would be changes in how the department conducts its activities. Now, in the information that I'll be speaking about or reflecting on in this segment of the presentation is contained in a document called the Estimate of National Expenditure, which is published by the National Treasury. It's this document I'm holding here. It has the budget, the expected expenditure of all the national departments. So a lot of the figures that I'm using and some of the issues I'll be referring to are contained in this document, if members would want a reference. Now, the Estimate of National Expenditure, as I mentioned earlier, is a document produced by the National Treasury, which basically describes the budgets of all the national departments. Now, in terms of the Department of International Relations and Cooperation, the ENE speaks about certain areas of focus in terms of the spending of the department. Now, the department has divided these into two areas of focus. Now, the first area of focus the department has stated is that it would focus on South Africa's economic and political relations and participating in global governance forums. That's the first one. Now, the second spending focus will be on enhancing the organization in certain political aspects and an organizational aspect that the department will prioritize in terms of its spending. In terms of the first spending focus, the department says it will continue to participate in multilateral forums such as African Union, and the department would remain committed to regional integration initiatives. One of the things that specifically honorable members in the Southern African Development Community, but I wanted to also highlight the fact that the department mentions, as far as regional integration is concerned, the department mentions that one of the priorities is facilitating or contributing to the establishment of a free trade area. Now, the department mentions that this process would be led by the Department of Trade and Industry. So it's something I wanted to highlight with members that yes, this is one of the priorities of the department, but in terms of that, the establishment of the FTA, the free trade area, it's trade and industry that would play the leading role. So as a committee, perhaps the honorable member could inquire with the department as to what would the terms of reference be, what role would the department play, how would they work with trade and industry in this regard. One of the things that also featured in terms of the first spending focus was a focus on conflict reconstruction and development, as well as certain political processes and political reform in the Great Lakes region. This is something that Dineo had mentioned earlier in her presentation, so I won't labor that point. Now, in terms of the first spending focus that I'm speaking about, there are two programs that are affected by it. That's Program 2 and Program 3. In terms of Program 2, the funding will be 9.4 billion in this financial year, and in terms of Program 3, it will be 1.5 billion. But I will obviously speak on to those details later on when I go to the individual programs of the department. I will explain the budget. Now, as I mentioned earlier, there's a second spending focus that the department has prioritized, and that one is enhancing the operational capacity of the department. Now, in the estimate of national expenditure, the department focuses on certain administrative issues. Specifically, the focus is on SAPA, or rather all the processes involved in the development and the completion of the Development Partnership Fund Bill, which is intended to repeal the African Renaissance and International Cooperation Act. So it's what we've been speaking about regarding the establishment of SAPA. The department wants to prioritize this, give this priority in this financial year, which answer some of the questions that the members had earlier. But of course, the delays in the process is something that the committee could inquire with the department. Now, as I've already mentioned this, this program is the program that most would be involved in terms of this process is Program 1. But again, I'll speak more about that at a later stage. Now, the estimate of national expenditure also then focuses on property management, specifically the property portfolio of the department. Now, as Dineo mentioned earlier, there's 133 state-owned properties and 800 rented properties. And the department spends approximately 575 million a year on leases. In areas where it doesn't own the property. So this is something that's quite significant. It's quite an amount. And the department stated that it would conduct a risk assessment and cost-benefit analysis about which properties it must continue to lease and which must strive towards ownership. And also, Dineo had mentioned this already, that this year the focus would be on construction in Tanzania, Malawi, and the Netherlands. Now, honorable members, I'm now going to just speak on the individual programs. And as you are aware, Program 1 is Administration. Program 2 is International Relations. Program 3 is International Cooperation. Program 4 is Public Diplomacy and Protocol Services. And Program 5 is International Transfers. I'm just going to briefly touch on each of the programs, and then I will explain the changes in terms of the budget allocations. Now, the purpose of the administration program is developing policy and managing and providing management for the department. Program 2 focuses on promoting relations with foreign countries. Program 3 focuses on South Africa's participation in international organizations. And Program 4 focuses on the provision of public diplomacy and protocol services. And international transfer deals with departmental agencies, namely the ARF, and it also deals with our membership contributions. Now, honorable members, if you look at the slide, I apologize, I didn't have the page numbers, but there's a table which speaks about the budget allocation per program. And as you can see, in terms of each program, there's a reduction in this financial year. In each of the programs, there's a reduction in terms of the budget allocation. And I'll explain as to why there's this reduction. Danae touched on it earlier to some degree, but I'll give some details. Now, if you look at Program 1, this next table, there's a reduction of 9.9 million in Program 1. In Program 2, there's a reduction of 125.1 million. In Program 3, there is a reduction of 17.9 million. In Program 4, there's a reduction of 63 million. And in Program 5, there's a reduction of 189.8 million. And that brings the total to 405.7 million. I could, I don't know, through you, Chair, would you like just some...
Sorry, I don't know about that. I just missed the column where you show the reduction. I see there's one nominal rise and then the other one, the yellow rise, then all of them to number negative. So where is the reduction to speaking to 9 million or that? Sorry.
Chairperson, my apologies for that. I was describing the nominal RAM change. You'll see there the nominal RAN change, that's the one I was giving. And the real RAN change will be slightly higher, you see there 666.7 million. What I wanted to inquire through you, Chair, is whether the members would like me to explain where there were reductions in terms of the platform.
Yeah, it is important.
Honorable members, in terms of Program 1, this is something that you would probably find quite useful. Now, Program 1 has specific sub-programs. Now, one of the sub-programs is called Departmental Management. Now, in terms of Departmental Management, there was an increase in that budget. That budget has been increased. It's been increased from 15.6 million to 16.4 million in this financial year. Now, there's another sub-program called Audit Services. Now, that particular sub-program has been reduced. It's been reduced from 21.1 million in the previous financial year to 19.8 million. Now, if you're looking for those figures, they are contained in the document, the budget first analysis that was distributed to you. But I just put them in the PowerPoint slide because I wasn't sure if that was. So I wasn't sure. third sub-program is called financial management. Now, in that sub-program, there was an increase. The increase was from 164.4 million to 131 million. So, in terms of financial management, the department has decided to allocate more money. Now, this is linked to what Honorable Khatebe had mentioned earlier about languages. Now, this, in terms of languages, this is contained in the sub-program called Diplomatic Training, Research and Development. That's one of the sub-programs of Program 1. Now, the budget for that particular sub-program has actually increased. It's increased from 16.5 million rand to 66.5. So that budget has actually been increased by 6.5 million. So perhaps the committee could inquire with the department where the reductions are, specifically on what specific issues. Because you see that DGRD, the budget has actually increased. One of the other, so the next sub-program is called Foreign Fixed Asset Management. Now, in that sub-program, there's an increase, and it's increased from 221.3 million to 223.8. Now, that particular program, sub-program, deals with properties and you know, fixed assets. So it's linked to the what I was describing earlier as far as the property management. Now, yes. Now that would be the final program from administration. In terms of program 2, there are reductions in all of the sub-programs, and excuse me. There's a reduction in each of the sub-programs in program 2. In terms of program 3, it's a bit different. Most of the, I have to point out to members that the majority of the spending in program 3 is in global systems of governance and continental cooperation. So those are the two sub-programs that receive the most in terms of the budget allocation. But if I, as Danao mentioned earlier, the sub-programs in program 3 are global systems of governance, continental cooperation, South-South cooperation, and North-South dialogue. So there are reductions in terms of South-South cooperation and North-South dialogue, but in terms of global systems of governance and continental cooperation, there are increases. So you can see the department really prioritizing those two. This is not to say, obviously, that BRICS and other forums don't matter. It's just that in terms of the budget allocation, there was a decision that was made in that respect. In terms of program 4, the sub-programs for that program are public diplomacy and protocol services. Now, what I thought the members would find interesting is that there was a reduction in the budget allocation for public diplomacy. The budget for public diplomacy was in 2013 and 2014 financial year, it was 74 million. But then this was reduced to 62.8 million in the 2014-2015 financial year. Now, this is expected to further reduce, and the budget for the 2015-2016 financial year is 62.3 million. That means over the last three financial years, the budget for public diplomacy has slowly been decreased. That's something I thought much prioritized and given more funding, but the budget has decreased this year. So this is something that the committee can pay attention to. Now, in terms of Program 5, as I mentioned earlier, Program 5 deals with departmental agencies like the ARF and also membership contributions, basically our contributions to international organizations. Now, in terms of the ARF, I wanted to highlight the fact that there is a reduction in the budget of the ARF. Specifically, in the 2014-2015 financial year, the appropriation for the ARF was 285.6 million. And this year it is estimated to be 154 million. So that's quite a significant reduction. But I'll go into more detail about that. In terms of membership contribution, in the previous financial year it was 538 million. And in the 2015-2016 financial year, it's going to be 481.2 million. So again, there's a reduction there. But of course, this would be affected by currency fluctuations. So if the figure is more than likely to change as it always does. Now, I just wanted to reflect and give just a little bit of more detail on the reduction that Danae spoke about earlier. That there were in 2014 there was an announcement made that there would be fiscal adjustments, and these fiscal adjustments meant that there's an intention for national expenditure to be reduced by 25 billion over the medium-term strategic framework. Now, as part of that 25 billion, national departments have to reduce their spending by 2.3 billion in total, 2.3 billion in the 2015-2016 financial year. And there's an expectation that capital spending will be reduced by 280 million in the 2015-2016 financial year. Now, this reduction would be focused on non-core goods and services and non-critical items. So this is what Danielle was talking about earlier, where the committee can get some clarity from the department on where specifically they will be implementing their reductions. Now, just going to the African Renaissance Fund, Cabinet has approved a reduction of 335.3 million in the 2015-2016 financial year.
How much?
335.3 million. In the 2016-2017 financial year, Cabinet has approved a reduction of 467.1 million. And in the 2017-2018 financial year, Cabinet has approved a reduction of 168.5 million. These are to be affected on non-essential goods and services and compensation of employees in the African Renaissance Fund. And this is based on the view that the ARF has enough sufficient cash reserves to absorb the impact of these reductions. So its operations won't be affected. And as I've already mentioned this, but the fund's total budget in this financial year is going to be 154 million. So that concludes my presentation on the budget, and if you have any questions, I will.
Thank you very much, Mandala. So I just first wanted to know why you're saying that I'm the last thing there, I think it was not just the
Okay.
The presentation, honourable members, has been made, and the areas
thank you very much, just to say well done to Mr. Madala. I think it's given us more ammunition that we can use. So I think all the questions are to the department, really, but he's given us thorough analysis, and well done. Thank you very much.
They set the bar very high. Performance appraisal. Is it a bonus thing? Okay. Ah, nice. There you go.
Over
to you, Kalia.
No. Thank you so much, Chairperson. I have questions, but obviously these will be put to the minister in June here. And I just want to say Mr. Lekota asked me to send an apology. He didn't want to disturb the meeting, but he had to leave for another engagement. So just to record his apology immediately.
Happiness. When are we receiving our official passport?
Gracias.
much for your logistical arrangement for the meeting. We'll see you after 2 weeks. Enjoy your stay in Parliament. We have a little sweet.
They put the duration 1 day. When is the date? And this thing. We just put our duration. We haven't put the date. Here it is. The recommendation.
Second week of the
2024.
But they're not saying on which day is which one.
They will have to come back. Oh, the first, the bank is planning to take place. It will be the second week,
2024. That's fine.
Okay.
But it's not saying.
And then MCOP is 13 to 17.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I should have seen before, but they're not saying.
But they're not saying whether this is 20th and 21st.
Okay.
The record is 22nd.
Agreed.
Like a surprise.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.